I want to come first with greetings. My notes are on my phone here. One second. It's not unlocking for me. There we go. So I want to come first and bring you greetings from the ABC Northwest, or what is now called Mission Northwest. It's the region that our churches are both part of. I serve on the region board. I'm now in the position of past president, which means I was president last year. Now I'm past being president. And so it's just on an advisory position there. And so both Charles Revis, who is our executive minister, and Patty Duckworth, who is our associate executive, give their greetings to you. Charles specifically asked that I let you know, and I'm just going to quote him directly so I say it correctly. He says, "Belfair is an important church in our greater Mission Northwest family. We value their ministry and their impact on Belfair. We are always here to help resource and advise in any way we can." And Patty Duckworth also sends her greetings. And for those of you who've been following another of our sister churches over in Union, where Pastor Terry Oliver has just had retired, they are just now calling a new pastor named Michael Wedman. And so we can celebrate with them. I know you guys know really well what it is to go through that pastoral search process. And we are very glad for them to have that. As a matter of fact, that's one other connection that we have together, is I know that when you were in your search process, a very wonderful gentleman, Paul Burnham, was here and helped with you through that time. And Paul, you may not know, was actually early in my ministry an intentional mentor of mine, that we got together, we spoke together on a weekly basis of just how are things going over at First Baptist, and was just a source of help for me. And we always thought it was fun that there was a Paul mentoring a Timothy that way. But it was, it's just neat to be part of a big family, isn't it? And so this desire of Jamie and mine to be able to swap pulpits has been something that we've talked about for a while. And we were trying to figure out when it was, and we'd actually sit down with our calendars as we're planning out our sermons and see, well, that one doesn't work for me, and that doesn't work for me. What ended up working was today. And as we took a look at that, we recognized this is about the one-year mark of when she was installed as your pastor, which is really neat. And when she was installed as your pastor, I was invited to come and give what was called a charge to the congregation. In an installation service, there are a couple things that are done. Two of them are a charge to the pastor and a charge to the congregation. The charge to the pastor is where you lift up the minister and you say, hey, there is a responsibility that's on your shoulders. There are things you're supposed to do, how you're supposed to love your flock, how you're supposed to guide them and nurture them and train them and teach them and disciple them. And Jamie received that charge. I was invited to come and give the charge to you, to say, you know, there's an obligation of a congregation back to the pastor. There's a way that you are to love your minister. There's a way you're to support her and care for her and honor God as you honor her. And so I said, you know, we're coming up on this one-year mark. Would it be okay with you, Jamie, if I followed up on that and maybe gave a one-year follow-up on that charge? And she was a little trepidatious. You know, she said, well, it's okay, but you got to make sure you're not scolding. You got to make sure that they know I love them. You got to make sure that, you know, and so I promise not to be scolding. It is not the heart of this at all. Rather, what this is they asked me when I came in, what's the title for the sermon? And I hadn't even thought of a title for the sermon, so I just quickly said, how about brotherly advice? This is just one of these sermons that I want to give, one of these messages I want to give from a pastor's perspective of how you can do a good job loving your pastor, of what it looks like biblically. That we're going to study scripture here in just a moment, where we're told very clearly that there's an obligation to the congregation and how they care for their minister. You may not know it, but being a pastor is hard work. The average longevity of a senior pastor in a church is 4 years. It's about how long they stay. Now, I'm moving into my 10th year over at Port Angeles, so things have gone well there. It's 10th year and counting, right? And I'm excited for it. Port Angeles is a church of 125 years. With me having 10 years in, I'm already the second most senior staying pastor in that church's history, right? It's a hard job. There's a lot that goes beyond it and behind it. And one of the uniquenesses of me being able to come and talk to you is I can say that in a way not walking in Jamie's shoes. They'd be too small for me anyway, right? So I'm not in her place. I don't know all the stories. I don't know. I pray for you guys. I you know, was able to even be here when Steve was here, right? And I prayed with him for you guys. But it's but one of the things I can come in is I can come and just kind of speak plainly and directly, not scoldingly, but lift you up in a way that says, now we know how to love our pastor, right? And so I'm going to begin with a study. We're going to look at some scripture, and we're going to look at that and kind of do an overview. But I'm hoping to end the sermon, and I'm preaching from notes, so if I don't get there, call me on it. I'm hoping to end the sermon by giving some pragmatic advice. These are some specific things that you can do right here and right now to make sure that 10 years from now, you're celebrating that Pastor Jamie's still here. You're celebrating that she's still doing the good work. You're celebrating that you've nurtured her and grown her well, because you're in a unique place as a Church of Belfair, because not only do you have a pastor who's new in just 1 year, you have a new pastor, right? A woman who is new to the position of senior leadership. And so you are uniquely called by God as this congregation to care for this young woman, to love her as God would have you love your pastor, but also to help her grow in this new role. And it's a wonderful place to be, and I can speak from experience, because First Baptist Church Port Angeles was my first place. And hopefully my plan is to put down roots where God has planted me. I don't have plans to go anywhere else, right? Now God wills as God wills, but that's my plan, right? And my belief is that you guys have a stellar person in Pastor Jamie. You have a stellar leader in Pastor Jamie. As a matter of fact, that's right, you can applaud her. She's doing good work. As a matter of fact, I know I speak for the region in a whole, because as I was just speaking, I'm coming off the region board. This is my final year as past president, but you know who's just coming on in their very first year on the region board? Pastor Jamie. Because she is recognized by the other sister churches in Mission Northwest as being somebody who we want to invest in, somebody we want to connect with, and somebody whose leadership we value, okay? So you guys have hit the lotto, right? And we want to make sure you realize who you have in her and are able to love her well. So let us begin by taking a look at our passage this morning. This is from the book of Hebrews. We're going to start in verse 17. It says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. This is, we actually don't know who wrote Hebrews, but we know it's written to a collection of local churches, right? So obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men or women who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and a desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so that I may be restored to you soon. So what I want us to see here is, actually, if we go back to verse 18, so the middle slide there, it says in that middle slide, pray for us. What I want you to see there is that something very similar to today is happening in that letter, right? Because it began by saying, obey your church leaders, but it's not saying, and so I'm talking about me, right? This is a letter written by whoever wrote Hebrews, saying that you're to pray for your leaders, but you're to pray for those writing this letter, as we're telling you to obey the leaders in your local congregation. So in other words, it's somebody outside of the local church coming in to say, allow your local leader's job to be a joy, not a burden, right? And I just think it's a neat thing to see. This is a continuing tradition. And one of the reasons is it's very hard as the local leader to stand up and say, hey, I need you guys to make my job a joy, not a burden. Because it sounds complaining, doesn't it? It's hard to say, I need you guys to obey and to submit. Because that sounds authoritatively and it sounds self-serving, doesn't it? And so it's something that's very hard for a local leader to do. But somebody outside of that segment can come in and say, hey, folks, this is God's design. This is from Scripture. That God has set up a church structure such that he has called and blessed and given vision and skill and leadership qualities to individuals. And if we're going to put them in those leadership positions, if we're going to recognize that God, that's what God has done, we need to empower them in that. We need to allow this job that they have to be a joy and not a burden. And so often, I think sometimes we get it mixed up, right? We think that our job is that the pastor is there to serve us rather than us to help make the pastor's job that joy. There's a great parallel. There's a wonderful book. If you've not read it, I encourage you to get it. It's a simple read. It's called I Am a Church Member by a guy named Tom Rainer. I Am a Church Member by Tom Rainer. And he begins it by making a parallel or by talking about when Scripture talks that we are the body of Christ and what that means to be the body of Christ. And he said that on oftentimes when we think about being a member of the body of Christ, we think of membership in the same way as we do being a member of a country club. So we come in and we pay our dues, and that would be our tithing that we give in. And then we expect things out of what we pay in, right? And so if you go to a country club and you pay your dues, you expect access to the tennis court. You expect that the lunch will be a discount. You expect that the pool will be kept private. And there's some expectations as you pay into your membership dues. And sometimes, unknowingly, because of that's how we conceive a membership, when we think of being a member of the church, we come to it with the same attitude. And Tom says, we've got to be very careful. That's our natural go-to. And so the only way we avoid that is if we can be intentional not to go there. And Tom says, biblically speaking, we need to understand we're not being members of a country club. We're members of a body. Well, what are members of a body? That's your heart, that's your lungs, your hands, your feet. Well, the members of a body are there to perform function, not there to be served. Right? And so you as members of the church are here to perform function, not here to be served. And where we see that happen in the role of pastoring is sometimes we want to say, well, you know, we come in and we pay that tithe, and that tithe goes to pay a pastor's salary. And so now that I am, needing to go to the hospital to have an ingrown toenail fixed, right, I want my pastoral visit. You know, I want Jamie to come and see me. Or, you know, and we have a demand on how we expect that service based upon what we've done. Well, that's a country club mentality. You all see how that works, right? The membership mentality is to say, you know what, we are here to empower Pastor Jamie as she's leading this body to do God's mission to Belfair. And so part of my function as a body, part of my function as this member of this body, is that I do give from what God has called me to give to support this mission. And part of that means freeing Jamie up to have an outward look to our community, an outward look for how that we can reach them. And then when she says she needs help, when she says she needs volunteers, when she says that she needs to get a team together, being somebody say, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm willing to step up. I don't know. I'm willing to be trained. I'm willing to be discipled. I'm willing to grow. I want to make your job a joy and not a burden. I don't want to ask you to do all the work. I don't want to say you should do all of the outreach and all of the congregational care. It's to say, I want to come alongside you. I want to learn from you and grow with you and serve with you and figure out how this goes. So I'm totally off of my notes right now. I'm just speaking from the heart. So, amen. Yeah. All right. So I'm just scanning down because I'm making headway here. One of the things to recognize that a job of the pastor is, and I don't have anything specific to name here. So, again, that's not a scold. It's just an awareness. Pastor Jamie's job is to serve God here, not to serve the interests of the people of the church. And this is a complex thought, but I want us to see where it's at. If we go again to the very first verse there, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They must keep watch over you. Keep watch over you, right? That's different than saying serve you. Keep watch over you as people who must give an account, right? Well, what does that mean? That they must do this as a people who must give an account? Well, because I don't have a negative example for you, I don't have a place to come in and say, well, this is where I'm going to hit Belfair between the eyes, because you guys are doing it all excellently, I'm sure, right? I'm not coming after you at all. But I do want to prepare you that there may come a time. You know, I know that when one of my very first sermons I preached at First Baptist Port Angeles, I had everybody come and take off one of their shoes when they came in the door. And then I had the ushers come with a plate, and I stole this idea. This wasn't original with me, but I thought it was great. I took a plate filled with little pebbles. I had it pass around everyone. And I had everyone take one of those pebbles and put it in their shoe and then put their shoe back on. And for the whole of the worship service, they had to stand to sing with that rock in their shoe. They had to, you know, greet one another with a rock in their shoe. And the point of it was, there are going to be times when you come and when you hear the message and when you hear what God is saying, that it's going to be uncomfortable to you. And part of a pastor's job can be to make you uncomfortable. It can be to speak to that thing that you value that's become an idol, or to speak to the thing that's moved in the place of what our mission ought to be as a church, right? And so one of the ways to make this clear is to go to, a negative example where church was wrong. And so if we turn in our Bibles to Galatians, the very first chapter, and that is, let's see where it's at on the Pew Bibles, it's going to be on page 1809 of your Pew Bibles, and I'll read it to you, but you're welcome to read along as you would like. Galatians, I'm going to start in verse 6 of the book of Galatians. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a church that he helped to plant. He helped to found this church. That was kind of Paul's model, as he would go into a new community that hadn't learned about Jesus yet, and he'd teach them about Jesus, and then he'd find somebody within that community who God had gifted, and he'd raise them up to a leader and train them, and then he would step away, and that person would continue to lead that congregation. So obviously this person here that Paul had raised up is having some troubles in the church, so Paul's writing back in, and as this outside authority, to say, hey, let's pay attention here. And he's hitting some resistance as well. So Paul says, I am astonished. You know, you always know that, you know, Paul wasn't one to mince words. If he had something to say, he just said it, right? Paul says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Again, Paul just says it, doesn't he? Let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. If I were trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. This is the obligation that Pastor Jamie works under. She is being held. Jesus' brother James wrote a book, and he said not everybody should want to be teachers because they're held to a different level. They're judged by a higher standard. Jamie has to stand up here and lead you well, not seeking your approval, but seeking your growth, seeking your discipleship. And sometimes it's going to be a rock in a shoe. And when it's a rock in a shoe, the way you love her is you say, Pastor Jamie, thank you that you love me enough to speak the truth to me. Thank you that you love me enough to tell me what I need to hear. I remember when I was in college, I had a buddy who had hit a really down point. And he was really just depressed. He had graduated with his degree and had no job to show for it. He couldn't even afford a place to live, so he's crashing on my couch, and he was just down. And this buddy, who is down with no job and no prospect and a lot of student debt, he started buying a lot of beer. He started drinking a lot in my house. Now, we were both adults. I was kind of, well, you know, I'm not his mom, you know, but he started drinking enough, and I loved this man. We're still friends to this day. And I remember being very nervous and very anxious about a conversation that I did not know how it was going to go. And because I loved him, I sat him down and said, man, there's a lot of empty cans when I get home from work in this house. He could have responded very poorly. He could have been deeply offended, but you know what he did instead? He said, Tim, thank you for loving me enough to bring that up. And he started cutting back, and he started cutting it out, and he just went, and he was just done. But had I not spoken soon enough, it's an easy, quick route to addiction, isn't it? Right? Now, I'm not saying that that's your situation, and I know it's different when we're talking friends to friends, but there may be times when Jamie brings something up to how the church needs to shift, or how a thing needs to move, or how we need to be outward focused more than inward focused, or how we need to change something that's important to us, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to be a rock in the shoe, and you're going to have a choice to make. And you're going to be able to say, forget you, you're not my mom. Or you're going to be able to say, thank you that you love me enough to have that hard conversation. Right? And when we're talking church, I'm not just talking those individual conversations about you're drinking too much, right? I'm talking those bigger picture conversations about where is the church going? What is the vision that God has for us? And so I promised I was going to end with some, I could just talk about this all day long, and I need to wrap it up. Look at that. Time goes fast when you're speaking, when I'm speaking, for me anyway. Here are some specific ways that you can be a blessing to Jamie. Some things right now. I don't know if there's, I know there's not conflict. I know Jamie is loving you guys. I know she said very clearly, don't make them think I'm angry. This is just the line I like to use for my premarital counseling couples. They come in and they want to get premarital counseling, but nothing's wrong yet, right? There's no issues yet. Everything's, they're looking at my fiance is perfect. There's not going to be any troubles. We're never going to fight in marriage, right? And I always say, maintenance is easier than repair. If you have a car that needs an oil change, don't wait till the engine blows. Go and keep that maintenance up. Keep things going good. This is just maintenance, right? This is just a self-check. And so here are some things that you guys can do to love your pastor well. Respect her days off and her vacations, right? I have 5 children in my house. 4 of them are 6 and under, 6, 6, 4, and 2. And then we have a 16-year-old. And I tell you, parenting is hard, right? Well, you may not know this, but God gives a pastor a heart like a parent for her congregation. And sometimes it's important for her to be able to take a step back and go, right? Respect her days off. Respect her vacations. That doesn't mean you can't ask her to go and do something with you on her day off, but it means understand it's her day off. When you're going out and taking her on a hike, it's not the time to bring up the conflict in the church. That's not the time to talk about the thing that you need the personal counseling for. That's the time to just say, isn't that a beautiful tree? Didn't God make wonderful creation, right? Help her to be in those training things and support her in that, even if it means it takes her away from your congregation. So that she is right now on our region board, that's wonderful. Support her in that. Make sure that she has the time off. If she goes away on a weekend, don't expect her to preach that Sunday, right? Let her have that time to be fully present where she's at. A sermon, if you think about it, when I would manuscript my sermons, they'd be about 10 pages long, and they'd be written to be an oral report. I don't know when the last time was you wrote a 10-page long oral report to deliver in front of a live audience, you know, or a live congregation, but it's a lot of work. You know, give her that time when she's doing something else to not write that 10-page oral report. That may mean that some of you volunteer to cover for her when she's gone. She's on a young pastor's network. I actually qualified for that too. I must be on the upper end of it. But we're on the same network together where we work together and talk together. Encourage her to stay part of that. We're in the same leadership learning community. This is something the Mission Northwest has put together. And Ron Anderson over in Bremerton at Minette Community Church is our mentor pastor there. Encourage her to stay part of that. Give her time to read the books that we're studying together so that she can develop as a pastor. This is a big one, and it's one that's so easily overlooked. And it's one that won't happen if you don't do it now. Plan right now as she's getting ready to move into year two of her time here, that in year seven of her time here, she gets a sabbatical. A sabbatical is 3 months off. It's not vacation time. She still gets her vacation time. It's not. It's time where she gets to go and rest and be refreshed and be in God's presence. It might be a time where she wants to do some study. It might be some time where she wants to do some travel. But it's a time where God gets to recreate and refresh your pastor. And it's really easy right now in year two to say that in 6 years' time, we're going to give her 3 months to go and develop and grow and be with God and understand that. But I tell you what, if you wait till year six to start talking about it, it's not going to be a good time, right? Oh, well, we can't afford to have her gone now. So start that planning now. And it's very hard for a pastor to advocate for a sabbatical. I'm doing it for her. And you know what? You should. When I step out of this door, you should advocate. Pastor Jamie needs a sabbatical year seven because we plan on her being here for year 10, right? Remember Pastor Appreciation Month. It's in October. Remember anniversary dates and days. When did she first come? Let's celebrate that she's here. Remember her birthday. Remember to invite her to things. You know, invite her out after church. And if she says no, don't be offended. But invite her the next week, right? And remember her, care for her, love her, receive from her, bless her. May her job be a joy and not a burden because you care for her. Let's pray for Jamie as we close right now. Lord Jesus, we want to lift up Pastor Jamie to you, and we are so thankful for this opportunity to stand and just think about what it means to be a congregation under a pastor's leadership. Not in just in the sense, Lord, of what we can receive from the pastor, but Lord, what can we give her back? Lord, how can we be the people you've called us to be responsive in the way you've called us to respond, support her in the way that you want us to support, that we might continue to learn from her, that we might continue this reciprocal relationship where she is our leader and we are her followers. Where she gets to guide us and we get to listen. Lord, we know that there's nobody who spends more time on their knees for this church in prayer, listening for your vision of where this church is supposed to go as we tell the people in Belfair who don't know about you. We thank you for her. We thank you for her prayers and for her intercession, and we pray for her. Lord, we know that Satan is unhappy that she's on her knees praying for this church. We know that the enemy has a plan to do her harm and not to bless her. So in Jesus' name and by the power of the risen Lord and in the name of the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God the Father, we set a hedge of protection around our Pastor Jamie. And we pray that the enemy's plans would come to naught, that she would be protected, that she would be blessed, that Satan would have no foothold in her life. Lord, we thank you for her, and we pray your blessing over her. And we ask this all in your name. Amen.